Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Pastor Preston Bailey, and we're going to be talking about some of the supernatural things that are going on in the world today. Now, basically, most Americans, of course, live in a material world, and we go to work, and we get paid, and we sort of see things, and we believe in what we see, but it is the things that we don't see sometimes that we have to understand, that we not only live in a material world, but there is an invisible world out there. We live, certainly, in a subjective world, but there's a spiritual world out there. And until people understand that there is this other dimension, why so much of what's going on today doesn't make sense. So, with that thought in mind, Pastor Bailey, thank you so very much for being with us tonight.
Yes, it's a pleasure to be here, Dr. Stan.
And, of course, apparently you've done a lot of studying on this sort of thing, on these almost supernatural forces, this idea of Nephilim and hybrids and these supernatural beings. Would you like to sort of pick up the story, tell our listeners a little bit about how you got involved looking into this and then what you have discovered?
Yes, I'm a clinical Christian psychologist. So I counsel people that have what is called highly complex SRADD. What that means is when a child is abused before the age of 7, their brain cannot handle the trauma, so they automatically dissociate or separate. It is a condition recognized by the American Psychiatric Association as a natural response to trauma. Well, what happens is if they're raised in an occult family, specifically the New World Order, if they're raised in one of these occult families, then they are programmed from birth. So that is called dissociative identity disorder caused by satanic ritual abuse. So every week I counsel people that are raised in occult families, and they describe in detail what is commonly called today the hybrid breeding program, or it is really the fulfillment of Matthew chapter 24, verses 37 and 38, that says, as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark.
Well, Pastor, we're going to have to take a little short break here. Are you on a regular landline? Because you're
yes, I am.
All right, fine. Well, then we'll just go right ahead. But basically, of course, Pastor, Preston Bailey is talking about certainly this unusual group of people coming from special families that are involved. Now, are these families primarily occult families?
Yes. Most of them are primarily occult families. Like the Illuminati, there's more than just the Illuminati, but it's a cult family.
And these are not imaginary. These are real people raised in the cult families in preparation for this coming world government. We're going to be back here in just a moment, right here at Radio Liberty, and Gertie in the background of the so-called hybrids. Well, why don't you pick the story right up from there, Pastor Bailey, and tell us really first, how did you get started? Where did you get your background for counseling this? This is not something that most Christian counselors are into, is it?
No, it's really actually very rare. What happened was I started out after I graduated from seminary and became a pastor. I'm a preacher's kid, so I've been in the church since 9 months before I was born. Well, but I moved from Virginia to St. Charles, Missouri, and at the time, it was actually the national headquarters for the school and church of Wicca, witchcraft. So I had to deal with occult practices on a regular basis. So from there, in my first church, I had to deal with what's called demonized people, people that had different degrees of attacks by demons, and that that advanced through the years. And then I was appointed by the governor as the chairman of the task force on child abuse. So I would help help the families of children who were abused, and I would often track down the child abusers and make sure they were brought to justice. So I learned a lot about child abuse and the issues that children face, and then that progressed into counseling people that had dissociative identity disorder from severe trauma and child abuse, and then that led to one specific type of dissociative condition called dissociative identity disorder caused by satanic ritual abuse. So it was a progression, just like progressive revelation from God when he teaches us them.
Now, why did they abuse the children? Does this allow them then to control them more efficiently or more effectively?
Well, that's exactly correct. They abuse the children for two main reasons. Number one, they abuse the children to control what they do so that they follow the New World Order family rules and plans for them. And number two, they wanted to intentionally create, through the trauma and abuse, they wanted to create alternate personality states in the mind of these children.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, certainly Pastor Bailey is his son. His father was a minister before him, and of course, when he got out of seminary, he went to a church. But this church was very close to a center where they had Wicca, where they actually, were raising children and families involved with witchcraft. And then, of course, as time went by, he began seeing more and more children that were actually had come from families that were involved with this effort to bring about a one-world occult order. This whole move towards world government is founded in the occult. And these children were victims of abuse. They were certainly abused for several purposes. One was to control them. The other was to create dissociative personalities or so-called multiple personalities. Would that be a fairly good appraisal of this, Pastor Bailey?
Yes, that's exactly correct. And I studied at Harvard Medical School, specifically dissociation, from the man who actually came up with the term, Dr. Richard Kluft, who actually came up with the term. It used to be called multiple personality disorder, but Dr. Kluft said that's not really accurate. There's really only one person and many different parts or divisions of the brain. So that's why it's called dissociative identity disorder.
Well, now, are these people, by the time they come to you, are they adults? Are they still children? Are they young adults? Are they trying to get away from this? Are they trying to have a normal life? Are they trying, of course, to get away from the occult families that have been indoctrinated them and mistreating them? Do these people who want to be children of God?
Yes. Many of them come to me because they want to get out of New World Order organizations. Many of them become Christians, but they're highly programmed, so they can't just get out. It's just like any religious cult or any other type of cult in the world. You can't just one day decide, hey, I'm going to get out and leave. It doesn't work that way. Number one, if you try to leave, they may try to kill you. Or number two, you're highly programmed. So they, within their mind, they have programmed altars or parts that are loyal to the cult. So they try to counteract what this person wants to do in leaving the cult.
Well, now, basically, this cult, is this one cult or are there multiple cults? Is this a rare occasion or is this something fairly frequent that is going on that most people have never heard of and most people are totally unaware of? How frequent is this across America, do you think?
I would say there's millions of these people across America, but it's all over the world. There have been very well documented cases in most civilized countries of the world that this has occurred. What's interesting is I counseled one woman who was the daughter of a missionary. She was in Central America, and the local natives would kidnap her at night after the family went to sleep, and they would ritually program her around the fire. Here in the middle of the jungle in Central America, they perform many of the satanic rituals on her that they do in the most sophisticated large cities in America.
So basically, of course, this, the common denominator behind all of this is their allegiance to Satan. Is this what you're saying?
Yes, that's exactly correct.
Well, I think it's so hard for people in America to really believe that there are people who actually do worship Satan. Of course, these are not the ones that are coming to you for help. The ones that are coming to you are coming because they want to get away from it. But basically, I think people have to understand that there is another world out there. There really are people who worship Satan. They have their meetings. They have their covens. The traditional story we get, they're meeting there somewhere in the woods at nighttime in front of a bonfire. Does this sort of thing really happen?
Yes, it happens all over. In fact, Los Angeles County has a satanic ritual abuse task force, and that is Los Angeles County in California. So they are trained to investigate satanic ritual crimes and people who were victimized by organized satanic groups. So this happens all across America.
Well, then, of course, what do they do? Are there ministers there who are in a position, who are trained or capable of actually talking to these people, ministering to these people, helping them out of these satanic cults if they want to come out?
Many pastors are really scared of these people, and they don't know what to tell them, but this may be kind of a shocker to your audience, but I've actually counseled a number of people who were in Satanism and came out, and the high priest of their satanic group was a pastor of a local church. So Sunday morning, he would preach about Jesus, and Sunday night, he would lead the worship to Satan.
Well, we've been trying to explain to our listeners for a long time that the occult has infiltrated the Protestant church. They know how to speak Christianese, but they've changed very subtly the music and the message of our churches. They've changed this whole idea that God is certainly a God, certainly, who are we to fear? Who are we to certainly to worship? Who are we to have respect for? And to God is sort of just sort of a nice guy who loves everybody. There's no punishment for sin. And that's why people don't dress up when they go to church anymore. And certainly they've done a wonderful job changing the music of our churches. If people like rock music, that's fine. But it doesn't have any place in the Christian church. Do you think it does?
I think that the church and the world needs to be totally separate. It needs to be clear. In fact, in Ybor City in Florida, it is the death metal capital of the world, which is a specific type of music that focuses on worshiping Satan, suicide, and death. And it's specific, it's past heavy metal music, it is death metal music. And in churches, we need to clearly glorify and praise the Lord Jesus Christ, and it needs to be evident and not ambiguous in our churches today.
Well, now, basically, of course, we've talked about, as you call these people, hybrids. But certainly, these are just human beings. These are not some sort of a cross between a human and supernatural beings or demonic beings. But are there people of that sort? Are there Nephilim in the world today? What are your thoughts on that?
Yes. I think there are. In Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, it said, it came to pass when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men. The sons of God, throughout the Bible, especially Psalms, refers to angels. Here it's referring to fallen angels. And they took the wives of all they chose, and they interbred with the women. It says, they took wives that they chose, they married them. That simply means in Bible language, that they had sex with them. They didn't have a marriage ceremony. They just took them, and they had offspring, which is called Nephilim. In fact, the Bible mentions two other books that Christians often don't read or talk about. It mentions the book of Enoch and the book of Jubilees. Both of them go into detail and describe what happened on Mount Hermon when these fallen angels, the Watchers, came in and had sex with human women, and those offbreeds, those hybrid children, were called Nephilim. And some of the Nephilim that had children, the offspring, they are called the Anakims. Well, most people don't know about the Anakims, but they know one of the Anakims, which was Goliath. Goliath, when David fought against Goliath, the Bible says he picked up 5 smooth stones. One of them was for Goliath, one was for his father, Anak, A-N-A-K, and his 3 brothers, so that's 5. So young David had enough faith that he was going to wipe off from the face of the earth the hybrid Anakims, which was Goliath and his family. And the Bible says, as I've just read in Matthew 24, as in the days of Noah, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. So I believe, and many ministers that do the type of counseling that I do, that the fallen angels, the Watchers, have returned and have interbred with some humans and have offspring. And many people describe it as like, they call it alien abduction. That simply means they say that an alien came and impregnated them. And there has to be a Christian explanation. I think the best explanation is Matthew 24, that the fallen angels come and take women as they choose.
Well, basically, for our ladies and gentlemen who'd like to know something about these giants, these Nephilim, basically we have a 4-CD set. It's called The Return of the Giants, actually. It's my interviews with Barry Shamish, who's a Jewish investigative reporter. He doesn't understand the significance of the story that he tells. But four interviews with Barry, who actually, for a period of many years, interviewed people in Israel. And for about a decade, these giants were occurring there in Israel, and then they stopped appearing. Go right ahead, Pastor Bailey. But basically, of course, the thing is that nobody's actually, at least most people, have never seen one of these giants today. I was just commenting that one of our regular guests, a man named Barry Shamish, did a series of talks, and we have them in a 4-CD set. It's called The Return of the Giants, and basically the story is that he was able to get from people in Israel for a period from about 1985, somewhere in there, until about early 1990s, and a lot of people saw these giants, and then they disappeared. Have not been seen there since then. But these were not imaginary. These were apparently very real sightings and experiences that people had. Have you ever heard of anything like that?
Yes. I think history clearly shows evidence that there have been giants, and very tall giants. People who were skeptics and don't believe there were huge giants who've lived the last 1,000 years have not studied history very well. And I'm sure in the series that this man has done, he'll just simply give the historical record. What's interesting is I believe that anything in mythology often has something in real life that was the precursor to the writing of the mythological characters. For example, we know of Hercules. In fact, on Prince Philip's coat of arms in England today, the consort of the queen, on his coat of arms is Hercules. Hercules is a Nephilim by definition. He is a hybrid. In mythology, his father was Zeus and his mother was a human. So many of the mythological creatures, in fact, in television series, we see these hybrids, these mythological creatures of old coming back into interest. People say that a fallen angel or even a demon cannot have sex with humans because they don't have sex. That's simply wrong, because preachers misquote Matthew 22:30. It says, Jesus said, "For in the resurrection, they," referring to angels, "neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven." Jesus was simply saying, not that angels don't have sex, but he's saying that in heaven there is no sex, and in heaven there is no marriage. Anybody who deals with demons on a low-level basis knows there is incubus and succubus. You can look it up in Webster's Dictionary. An incubus, it says, is a male sex demon, and a succubus is a female sex demon. The comedian movie Ghostbusters, it has a succubus in the movie. So I think hybrids exist today. In fact, just this year, a laboratory in London, England.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment with all of our stations on board. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly our guest is Pastor Preston Bailey, who is, in addition to being a minister, actually counsels people who come from New World Order satanic families, people with dissociative personalities, they used to call them multiple personalities, now they call them dissociative personalities, victims of the misuse and treatment and torture, so that they were able to control these people. Some of these people want to get out, some of them want to live normal lives, some of them want, of course, come into a personal relationship with our Lord. This is not imaginary. The reason you're not hearing about this is because actually some of these people have actually infiltrated the churches and into our seminaries at the highest levels in both the Protestant and the Catholic Church. And the last thing they want is for people to understand what's really going on. And many ministers, honest, hardworking ministers, are really afraid to get out and talk about this sort of thing. Now, suddenly the pastor, Bailey, was talking about an instance recently. What was this in England? What had happened over
London,
there?
London, England. And let me read very, it's very brief, the article from London, England. It says 150 human-animal hybrids grown in British labs. The embryos have been produced secretively for the past 3 years. And this actually happened this year. Many people are not aware that there's actually human-animal hybrids that can be created in laboratories. They have even created, it's called transgenic, which means across genes or species. Right now, this is not my imagination, this is right now in real-life science that has already been created. There are transgenic sheep, goats, mice, chickens, pigs, cows, fish, insects, crops, GMO, genetic modified crops, sea organisms, and primates. In fact, there are parahuman pigs right now that have human DNA.
And I think these are terrible things. I don't think man has any right to be, or scientists have any right to be, taking human DNA and putting into pigs, or animal DNA and putting into human beings. I believe God is going to bring terrible judgment upon the world because of what we're doing to his creatures, the ones he made. Each one was separate and had their own genetic structure. And when man thinks he can play God, we're laying ourselves open for terrible, terrible retribution. Don't you think, Pastor?
Yes, I totally agree. And that's why I'm horrified by any type of hybrids, especially human and animal hybrids. So right now in laboratories, hybrids and transgenic creatures are created. In fact, back in 2003, Chinese scientists at Shanghai Second Medical University fused human cells with rabbit embryos. And this was back in 2003. So just imagine what is going on in laboratories across the world that they're not telling us about and is hidden from the public.
Well, of course, if any of you would, out there in the listening audience would like to hear the story of the giants that were seen in Israel, certainly in the late 1980s and early 1990s, we have a 4-CD set. It's called The Return of the Giants with Barry Shamish. He talks about the people he talked to. And there wasn't just one or two. There were many people who actually saw the giants. Now, of course, they disappeared as quickly as they appeared. In other words, they were there for a period probably close to 10 years, and then suddenly not to be seen again. What do we make of this sort of thing? Well, I really believe that we're living, certainly, in prophetic times, and we're told, as it was in the days of Noah. Why, of course, it will be with the return of the Lord. And at the times of Noah, there were Nephilim. There were these crossbreed individuals, gigantic people. And we have stories, not imaginary stories, but real stories of similar things happening today. Our guest, of course, is Pastor Preston Bailey. who actually counsels these people, and he's been doing this for some years, and there are a lot of people out there who are victims of satanic ritual abuse. It's in our society. It is not imaginary. As Pastor Paley points out, some of the leaders of some of the covens are actually ministers who preach the gospel on the weekend, but the rest of the week, of course, they're engaged in their real occupation. And this is why we've seen the change in both the music and the message of the Christian church. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, Pastor, basically, what can you tell us about your interviews and certainly your work with these people, trying to get out from these satanic influences which have dominated their lives?
Yes, I almost every day I counsel people from different walks of society. Many of them are from the Illuminati. They're trying to come out. They say that there is a difference between those who worship Satan and those who worship Lucifer. Of course, as Christians, we know it's the same person. But, of course, there's God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And some people focus on one of the Trinity more than the other. But Satan has 29 synonyms in the Bible. So satanic groups in the world may pick one of the names of Satan and focus on that and develop a whole cult around that name for Satan. So those in the Illuminati, that means the illuminated ones, the enlightened ones, the intelligent ones, they think they're smarter than everybody else. So they say they worship Lucifer. They say they don't worship Satan. They worship Lucifer. Lucifer means the bright one or the enlightened one. Now, what's important to understand is the purpose of the Nephilim, the purpose of the programming of children in satanic cults, the purpose of government and military organizations that program people under the Freedom of Information Act. Over 100,000 documents proved that the United States government, through the CIA and the military and other organizations, have used mind control to program children and adults.
But isn't that different than the Satanists, or is there somehow an overlap between the military and the CIA and the Satanists?
It is actually tied together. The military, there are many people in the Illuminati that are in the military.
Hold that thought. We're going to be back here in just a moment with Pastor Preston Bailey. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Of course, Dr. Bailey, basically, Pastor Bailey, talks about the Illuminati. And, of course, those of you who certainly listen to our programs know how the Illuminati was formed, certainly in 1776, May 1st, 1776. And the organization eventually was driven underground. It has existed within the structure of Masonry at the upper echelons of the Masonic movement ever since then. And apparently, according to Dr. Preston Bailey, why, of course, it exists today. The Illuminati is real. These people acknowledge they're part of the Illuminati, that they worship Lucifer. They make a very distinct difference between worship of Satan and worship of Lucifer. And they say that they don't worship Satan. They worship Lucifer. There are other people who say they worship Satan, and they don't worship Lucifer. It's all the distinction without a difference. But all of this has to do with the control control of the minds of the people, and anything to take people away from the worship of God, who can give them freedom. Certainly when you are involved with Satanism or Luciferianism, why, you are a servant, certainly, of these cults. Would that be a fair statement?
Yes, that's exactly correct. I think there's a verse that can connect all of this together, so it makes sense to your listeners, and that's Revelation chapter 12, verse 4. Most Christians are very aware of this verse, but they don't always understand the implication. It says this: "And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth, and the dragon, Satan, stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born." Now, a majority of theologians and Christians say this is referring to a third of the angels in heaven were kicked out by God. Well, to be more specific, there was actually nine orders of fallen angels in heaven that were kicked out. We often just focus on the order of fallen angels. Jesus called them demons. The apostles called them evil spirits. But they were cast to earth. Most Christians, and especially pastors, do not focus on the other eight fallen orders that are in higher rank than the fallen angels or the demons. So the key to understanding all of this is, for every one demon, we'll just say demon, for every one demon, there are two righteous angels in heaven. So Satan is already outnumbered 2-1. So the key to understanding all of this mind programming, whether it's by government agencies, whether it was by satanic families or occult groups, all of the programming, all of the people in the New World Order that are in the heads of the military or the government or in private business or in aerospace or whatever area it is, they are all working together to defeat God in a final battle, because Satan is outnumbered 2-1. So they have to create other forms of life, like Nephilim, which is a hybrid, which is two species coming together. So they have to create a lot of different types of hybrids, artificial life, and invent massive technology that they think they can use to defeat God. So all of this works together for the goal of trying to defeat God.
Well, now, have you ever met anyone that you thought might be a Nephilim, or do you know of anybody who actually has ever met anybody who was a Nephilim?
I have met people that that I did not think had all human DNA. So they were a hybrid. They would, Dr. Joseph Mengele in World War II, the Nazi doctor who, according to the Nuremberg trial, was responsible for murdering personally more than 100,000 people, he learned about genetics. So he taught genetics to occult groups around the world. He died in, which most people think is in Argentina, in his 70s. So he just marched out of the concentration camp with all of his notes and managed to escape freely. He took all of his notes with him. So he's taught advanced hybrid genetics, which genetic scientists use today, that is in the Illuminati or any other New World Order group to create artificial forms of life. Now, this is a shock, but this came out in the news today. This is very brief. It says the Office of Naval Research has been funding basic and applied research in synthetic biology for the past several years with several applications for new naval capabilities. They have stealthy, remotely observable sentinel species for threat monitoring and response to those threats. And it says they are autonomous, living, non-living hybrid robotic systems that utilize cells as environmental sensing. That means they simply sense the environment. And it is robotic life forms with synthetic artificial biological appearance. So it is like we saw in the movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger, cybernetic organisms. So they actually have created them right now in the U.S. military, Office of Naval Research. So people in the New World Order, they want to use laws, the government, military, and all of the advanced technology and research to control humans, to bring in the Antichrist, and to use advanced robotics and other type of technology to control humans on Earth and to fight God in the battle that's coming up, as described in the Bible.
And I think that most people find it so difficult to believe that there could really be, could be doing some of these things, that our government, our military could be involved. But I would say, why not? Oh, we've turned against God in this country. We've taken God and prayer and the Ten Commandments out of our schools, but we've taken it out of our universities. We've taken it out of our military. Basically, a commanding officer can no longer lead his troops in prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Military chaplains are not allowed to pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Everything has been transformed, and certainly at the highest levels of our government today, are people who hate Christianity, who hate Jesus Christ, and who hate Christians. And of course, they're using the fabulous amounts of money that the military has for all of these macabre experiments. And I think one day America is going to pay a terrible price, because men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. And most Americans are just too busy to worry about this sort of thing, to talk about it, or certainly to oppose it. Well, certainly, what sort of results do you get, Pastor Bailey, when you're dealing with these people? Are you able to help these people who are trying to get out of these satanic cults? I mean, do you get 50% of them out, or 25%, or 75%? Any ideas?
Yeah, those that come to me, the vast majority, are able to get out with the power of Christ and just knowledge and experience in the occult and how to deal with them. I believe that God is the wonderful counselor, but now the people that are highly programmed have an advanced scientific component to them. So it takes one step past spiritual warfare. We have to understand the scientific principles that God has created. So in these New World Order organizations, they have gone to the very limits of the laws of nature that God has created, not only to create all kinds of weird hybrids and artificial life forms, but they use advanced technology to control these people. So Christian counselors need to understand the scientific principles that is behind the programming of these people. And it is God who created the order and the structure of nature. So Christians need to find that order and structure and pray accordingly.
Well, are we talking certainly about a few thousand people? Are we talking about tens of thousands of people? Are we talking about hundreds of thousands of people in these occult groups across America? What are your thoughts?
It is estimated. A lot of people who do what I do have discussed this, and we guesstimate that it's 2 million people in the United States.
2 million people in the United States are involved in these satanic cults, but then how could they keep this secret? We don't hear about this in our churches. We don't hear this reported on ABC, CBS, or NBC. Certainly Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity aren't going to be talking about this sort of thing. 2 million people?
Yes, there is. I know this because, like I said, I used to be chairman of the Governor's Task Force on Child Abuse. There is over 100 convictions in the United States of satanic ritual-related crimes. Over 100. And it's actually public knowledge. It's usually not mentioned on the evening news. But if you can check the court records, you'll find there's well over 100 very well documented cases. And what can happen sometimes is when there is a divorce in the child custody battle, the mate discovers that their husband or wife had been involved in Satanism and used the children. So some of the cases have come out because of modern investigative techniques. They have irrefutable proof that this occurs.
Now, you said that you were actually the chairman of the governor's task force on, was this on satanic ritual abuse?
It was just the chairman of the governor's task force on child abuse.
On child abuse, right.
And so in the child abuse arena, some of them would be abused by Satanists. But I've led through the years many Satanists and witches to Christ. And I've led many warlocks. I led one in one city. I led the head warlock of the city. He alone, just in his group, had 300 witches underneath him. And I led him to Christ and baptized him in my church. When I led him to Christ, many others involved in the occult turned to Christ as well.
Well, basically, of course, I would think that would be very dangerous for the warlock like that to be able to accept Jesus Christ, because I would think that they would suddenly try to kill him. I mean, basically, these are not people who have any respect for human life or our laws. I mean, do some of the people who come out actually face persecution or certainly death threats or even death itself?
Yes, that is true. In fact, about 10 years ago, an Illuminati assassin came to my office to shoot me and kill me. But the night before, just before I was getting in bed, God said, "Someone is going to try to kill you tomorrow." And I said, "How should I pray?" And God said, "Pray that they would forget their gun." So I laughed, and I said, "Okay, God, I pray they'd forget their gun." So I forgot all about it, and the next day, to make a long story short, this woman came into my office, and she reached in her jacket to get a gun and shoot me, and she said, "I cannot believe I forgot my gun." And to make a long story short, she said, "Let me be honest with you, I am a transgenerational Satanist." That means she was born in it. She says her parents and grandparents and great-grandparents were in the Illuminati, and she was born to be a trained assassin, and that the mafia would hire her in some difficult cases to assassinate people. And I told her about what God told me, and I gave her the plan of salvation. But she said very clearly that she was a transgenerational Satan. She told me the details of what type of gun she uses and the two ways that she assassinates people so that they do not live. I mean, most people would not know that.
Well, basically, did her life change after that, or did you ever see her again?
I never saw her again. I gave her the plan of salvation, and I encouraged her to accept Christ. She said, I'll think about it, and then she headed out the door, and she turned back, and the only time she smiled and says, I just want you to know I won't be back. And I said, praise the Lord, thank you. And she left and never saw her again.
Well, I think that it's difficult for people to believe this sort of thing happens. We actually have a four-tape set called Deadly Assassins, where I actually interview two assassins, two government assassins, are both affiliated with the CIA. Well, one of them I know is dead, and the other I think is dead at the present time, but you can get the four CD set, Deadly Assassins from Radio Liberty. You can get the CD, four CD set on The Return of the Giants. You can get a copy of this interview with Pastor Preston Bailey. You must understand this is not imaginary, ladies and gentlemen. This is real. This is the sort of thing that really goes on behind the scenes. And the fact that you never hear about this through regular channels, it simply reflects the degree of control that they have over what we think. Pastor Bailey, how can people get in touch with you? Do you have a website or telephone number?
Yes, I have a website, spiritualwarfarecenter.com.
Spiritualwarfarecenter.com.
Yes.
Spiritualwarfarecenter.com. Go there and simply get the information. Well, some caller had called and asked you to define the difference between multiple personality disorders and dissociative personality disorders. Is there any real difference between them?
No, it's the exact same thing. It's just that multiple personality disorder is the old term that they used, and so they just updated and changed it to dissociative identity disorder.
So the distinction without a difference, and because we spend all of our time talking about the terms, rather than the terms, the important thing is the souls of people.
Yes, that's right. And so that people understand, if a person is abused before approximately the age of 7, they will often dissociate and develop a dissociative identity disorder. If they're abused after 7, they will often develop post-traumatic stress disorder, like 10% of the soldiers who go to Iraq or Afghanistan. And it's very similar. In fact, some of the symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder are the symptoms of dissociative identity disorder.
All right, fine. Well, what are your parting thoughts? What thought would you like to leave with our listeners tonight?
I would like to say we don't have to fear evil. The power of Christ is greater than Satan and all of the forces of hell combined. And the Bible tells us who's going to win that battle. But we need to resist the devil. We need to pray against the forces of evil. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. In these last days, we need to pray and bind the evil by the blood of the Lamb and release the perfect will of God in heaven down to earth in our life. We need to put on the armor of God daily, and we need to listen to the Holy Spirit, and we need to try to help deliver people from bondage, whether it is Satanism or something else.
Well, I really appreciate you so much for being with us, Pastor Bailey, and I think it's so important that we have people like you out there who certainly are ministers of our Lord and also who can help these tragic people who are certainly bound down by these terrible, terrible satanic powers, terrible satanic forces. Thank you very much for being with us. I hope we can talk to you again in the not-too-distant future, if not on this network, then one of our others.
Okay, well, thank you for inviting.
God bless. Good night. Thank you so much. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Somebody called in and wanted me to ask Pastor Bailey the difference between multiple personality disorders and dissociative personality disorders. And he says there is none. It's just a difference in terminology. They're exactly the same. And, of course, he told us a number of things this evening, the prevalence of which this exists in America, and the fact that you haven't heard of it simply reflects the degree of control that exists today over what the American people think. We have a 4-CD set on the supernatural. A 4-CD set on the supernatural, we certainly recommend it to you. We have a 4-CD set on deadly assassins, where I actually interviewed 2 CIA assassins. Both of them, I believe, are dead. I know one is dead. The other probably is dead. And then, of course, we have other interviews with on that 4-CD set with the man who tracked down the man who was paid to kill General George Patton. And a fascinating story. So then, of course, we also have a 4-CD set on the supernatural. We have a 4-CD set on deadly assassins. We also have a 4-CD set on the Return of the Giants. You go to our website and you can find all sorts of fascinating CD sets and DVDs that we have there. We don't talk about them a lot of times. A lot of people would never even know they were there unless they went to our website, RadioLiberty.com. We have fascinating information. Anything that we have actually produced, you have our permission to copy and to distribute, as long as you're not doing it to make a profit. Copy them, get others to listen with our blessing. Now, you can certainly listen to this program. It'll be archived at our website at RadioLiberty.com. You're welcome to pull it down. You can always get a copy from us. But if you want to pull it down off our archive spot on RadioLiberty.com, why, you have our blessing. And then, of course, this is the time when I need to mention that my ministry is primarily listener-supported, and we do have to put out $500,000 a year, basically, to actually to maintain our network of stations across America. So if you can join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, if you can want to have something to advertise with us, whatever you could do to help us, we'd appreciate it. We want to keep going as long as we possibly can. And we have shortwave outlets. We have internet outlets. We have cell phone outlets. We have station outlets. We have satellite outlets. And if you have a KU band satellite, you can get our programs off the internet 24 hours a day. But certainly people can listen to us on the internet. This is what most people have. But fortunately, we do have stations, a fair number of stations for both our afternoon and our evening programs. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is RadioLiberty.com. RadioLiberty.com. If you find it difficult to believe that there are people out there who certainly come from satanic families, that they acknowledge our part of the Illuminati, of course you need to get the writings on the Illuminati, it was a secret society created in 1776, May 1st, 1776, but it was part of this continuing secret societies dating back thousands of years. You need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. That's Brotherhood of Darkness. You can get the DVD. But if you get the book, it'll give you the documentation. And you can go into the Masonic writings. You can go into the Satanic writings. And we actually have the books written by the Satanists available on our research catalog. Not in a regular catalog, our research catalog. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. What do you need to do? You need to understand what's going on. You need, of course, to get the information, and then you need to help us get this out across America. Because we are truly involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. And most people don't even know what's going on today. Our webpage, RadioLiberty.com. RadioLiberty.com, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. We ask you to pray for America, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision, protection. Let us all.
be grateful.